Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Okay, I'm so glad to see you here this morning at Thrive Church. We are all glad to always see you here today. And like I always say, it is by no accident that you are here this morning. The God of the universe wanted you here today. It is by no accident that he wanted you here. Not that I am such a great thing or anything like that, but it's a place to encounter Jesus, encounter Father God and Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you do that today, that you have encountered him already through worship. But as we continue on through this message series, that you would encounter him even still. Amen. So Father God, as I preach today, may whatever I say that is of you never be forgotten. But whatever comes out of my mouth that is not of you, may it never be remembered. Because we just want you to have the glory. We want you to be praised. I want everybody here to fall more in love with you today, to feel more just encompassed by your love, and to trust in that love that you have for them even more. So I just pray for that right now in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. Are you guys ready to go? You guys got your Bibles this morning? I hope you do. We're going to need them. We're going to get into God's Word. I promise I got mine, though I may read from the sheets today. So if you don't see me flipping through the pages, I've got it. Do you? Oh, there's the question. And if you don't have it, there's an app you can download on your cell phones and follow along. Well, harvest. I have an awesome story to tell about the title and the series messages for Harvest this time. So a few weeks ago, before we started doing this message, I'm a pacer. So the camera guy's like, simmer. It's like watching a tennis match with me. I'm over here, then I'm over here, then all of a sudden I'm talking to Dana, then I'm coming back. So yeah, it's just like, I just don't scream going, every time I do it. But I do go back and forth, so I'm sorry if your neck gets sore. We'll pray for you at the end. And his arm. So a few weeks ago, before this message started, we meet on Mondays to, you know, plan for the church and all the things that we do here. And I come in and I'm like, at one point I'm like, it's got to be about the harvest, Hannah. And she's like, yeah, let's pray about that. So I'm like, okay. So that night I go home. I'm not thinking too much about it, but I'm like praying, God, you know, yeah, it'd be awesome if the message was the harvest this time, if it was the harvest. And then I didn't think much of it. That night, I go to sleep. And I'm sleeping, doing a good thing. And all of a sudden, I wake up in the middle of the night, dark out. And I go, God, why did you wake me up? I don't know what time it is. I can't see the clock. And the first thing I hear is, the harvest is white. The harvest is white. And I go, the harvest is white? What does that even mean? The harvest is white. So I get up, and I go, and I look in the Bible, and I'm looking. I'm like, I know the harvest thing is here, and I know that there's another verse in this other part of Scripture, so I'm looking. And then I get to our theme verse, John chapter 4, 35 through 38. And I didn't know that Hannah was solidifying this for our message series. I was just getting into it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. The next day I tell Nat, or a few days later I tell Nat, I go, God gave me a message the other day about the harvest. And at this time I still didn't know that our message series was going to be about the harvest. And Nat looks at me and she goes, wow, that's awesome, because Hannah just told me the message series for this year is the harvest for this time. I was like, oh, that is so God, that is so awesome. So that morning, it turns out it's 4:30 in the morning. I got my cell phone. I'm in my little office area, and I'm looking through the scriptures. And I get to this point in my Bible. And as I'm looking, first I go to Matthew's account, but then I look down at the bottom to see where it corresponds with another gospel. Oops, excuse me. Technical difficulty. That had to happen to lighten the load. So I'm reading, and then it tells me to go to John. And as I look, I'm reading down of Jesus' account in the book of John. And it says, "Do you not say that there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields that are white for harvest." That's where it was. Because I had remembered that before, but I didn't know which account it was in. Because in Matthew, it doesn't say the fields are white for harvest. It doesn't say they're ripe. This one says they're white with harvest. So I was like, yes, God, this is the one. "Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and the other reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have come in to their labor." And as I was looking at that, I looked at it again. This is the NASB version that I just read to you, but I also have an ESV version, and this is where I got the title for this message. It says in verse 35, "Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest?" And this really stuck out to me. When I read this, God's like, this is it. "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." So today's message is, look, the harvest. And in quotes underneath it, the danger of always looking beyond. Jesus is saying that the harvest is ready right now. The harvest is ready right now. There are people all around us. The harvest is ready. Jesus says, look, the harvest is ready. And he was saying to me, Caleb, look, the harvest is ready right now. There are people all around you. Look, the harvest is ready. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? The harvest is ready right now. The harvest is ready. It's important because people need to see and hear him. Because if they don't, it's not good in the end. They need to know him. They need to call upon his name. They need to be born again. Because Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by him and through him. The Bible says, how will they know if nobody goes and tells them? That's what our job is to go and tell the world. So I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, yes. Yes, I'm so into that. I'm so like, yes, God, there's a harvest out there. There's so many people all around me, and there's so many things like this. And I'm like, oh, I'm so eager to it. And then he lets me think about things. And how I go about my life. Yes, it's easy to think about the harvest when we're reminded about the harvest. But the harvest season isn't just a time of the year. Jesus is saying now is the time is ready, and the time is always ready for us. He told his disciples, do you not say that in 4 months the harvest will be ready? But he says, look, I'm telling you the harvest is ready now. There are some things in our lives that inhibit us from going out and going to that harvest. What is that for you? Jesus said to his disciples, you say that in 4 months it'll be ready, but I'm telling you right now it is ready. What are you telling Jesus that their 4 months, your 4 months is? Jesus, I would love to go out there, but I would love to minister to them, but you see, the conditions aren't really right. It's raining outside, it's cold, I'm tired. And Jesus is saying, yes, but the harvest is white. What is that for you? There are many things that that can be for somebody. There is, God, I would go out, but what if? What if I go out and I don't know what I'm talking about? What if I go out and I minister to somebody and they get angry with me? What if I just don't know enough? What if I haven't been in your faith long enough? I just don't know. There's the what ifs. The what ifs hinder us from going out to the harvest. Then there's the, if we're going to be honest, sometimes there's, God, I don't want to go out to them. You know how bad they are. You know what they do. That's what Jonah was saying with the Ninevites in chapter 4. He's saying, God, I know you're a gracious God. I know if I went to them, you would have grace and mercy and compassion on them. I knew you would do that. I don't like them. I didn't want to do that. I told you that that's what you were going to do, and you did it. Sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we can say that, God, I know that you want none to perish and that you all want them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. But if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really want to talk to them. Hey, I'm just leaving it out there. And if we're all honest with ourselves, it's the truth. Because not everybody's easy to talk to, especially when it's somebody at your workplace and they just did something to you. The last thing you want to do is go and have compassion and mercy on them. The last thing you want to do. Then there's the other thing. I call it the big if. So there's the what ifs, then there's the big if. And this is what hinders me a lot. When we say, God, I'll do it if only. If only I had more knowledge of your word, God, I would go out to the harvest. God, if only I was more popular, I would go out to the harvest. If only I lived here, I would go out to the harvest. God, if only we had a child, then I would stop thinking about that and go out to the harvest. My big if, and I entitled this part, is I dream of England. My big problem that hinders me here in the region that I live in is because I dream of being somewhere else and not here, if I'm going to be honest with you. When I was growing up, I never wanted to leave Lansing. I loved Lansing. I loved the people there. I loved the way it looked. I loved everything about Lansing. Then I grew up, and I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in New York. I have lived here within 25 miles of this building my entire life. I've never been way longer here, more than 2 weeks. I don't even think that. It's 10 days. And everybody else I knew had spent time away from here. They didn't grow up here. They had moved away for a while. They had spent time ministering places all over the world. And I'm thinking to myself, God, I've always been here. Isn't there a place for me somewhere else that I could go to? I dream of England. I'm a dreamer. I dream of being other places. And back in 2017, I didn't know this was going to happen, but I'd always been praying about being somewhere else and doing something. The places that I always dreamed about back then were Israel. I have a passion for Israel. I have a deep, abiding passion for Israel. Its history, Golda Meir, Moshe Dayan, all the people from the history of the modern state of Israel. Love it. Love it. And what's going on right now tears my heart apart. Because I am so into Israel, I have such a big passion for it. I have a passion for Israel, and I always thought about it. I'm also intrigued by South Africa. I dream about South Africa as well. Their history, what they've gone through, coming out of apartheid, and all the things that are happening there. I dream of South Africa. But I have a longing for England. I long to be there. I dream about being there. And sometimes because I dream about being there, I miss the harvest that's right in front of my eyes. There's a danger in looking beyond where God has you at the moment. There's a big danger there. Because Jesus has put you in this place for a purpose and a reason. Because you can reach people that nobody else can. But if we always have our eyes on something out and not the harvest that he has for you right now, the people that are around you, the harvest doesn't get picked, then the harvest rots on the vine. And that's the dangerous thing. Sometimes we think if things were different, we'd be more of use to God. Or if we were someplace else, he would be doing more through us. God has you here for a reason. Look, the harvest is white. I am not the only one who suffers from this. It turns out the Apostle Paul did as well. In the Romans chapter 15, Paul tells us that he longs to go to Spain and to Rome. At this point, he hadn't been to Rome yet, and he longed to go to Spain. But he says he was in the place that he was, which is Jerusalem at the time, for a reason, because he was to minister there. What is God asking you to minister to now? What does he want you to take your eyes off and put your eyes on? It is so important where you are. The people around you need you. God wants you here, but the people around you need you here. And I'm not saying having dreams of going places and doing ministries is wrong. It's great. And I have that dream still of going to England and ministering there. I love it. I can't even explain why. But when I first laid my eyes on it, when I first touched the ground in England, I knew that this is where I wanted to be. There are very few places. I even got to go to Israel. But after a few days, I was like, I wish I would go home. But when I was in England, I wish I could have stayed longer. If my daughter wasn't here, if this church wasn't here, and I wasn't a part of this church, I would have loved to stay there. But there's a danger in that. It's not wrong to dream. It's not wrong to want to have a ministry. It's not wrong to want to go somewhere else. But it is wrong when you consume your mind with that instead of asking God to have your mind consumed by the harvest that is before you, the harvest that God has all around you, because they need you. We need to be in the harvest. We need to ask God to plead for him, for us to have a heart for the lost. a passion for them. I think that's what happens sometimes. Our love grows cold for the things of God that He wants for us because we're so used to seeing it. I was thinking of like the harvest here in Central New York. We have corn everywhere. We have wheat and stuff all over the place. Sometimes the harvest, we don't go after because we're so used to seeing it. We're so used to seeing corn. It does nothing for me. It's like, oh, these big cornfields, I don't care about them. But what if the harvest is the people that you see all the time and you overlook them because you're so used to seeing them? That's the danger. That you see the people all the time. God saying, they're ready for the harvest. They're ready to be picked. Are you willing to do so? Are you willing to set aside your dreams, where you think you should be, who you think you should minister to, for the people that I say that I want you to minister to, that I want you to go to, that I want you to see, that I want you to pick? What does that look like? What does that look like to go pick the harvest? What does it look like? Well, in Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38, there was another harvest thing. And Jesus was going through the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing every disease and every sickness. That's what harvesting looks like. Telling people about the gospel. Going out there and praying for healing. Going out there and praying for deliverance and seeing people's lives changed. It goes on to say in verse 36, seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. He then said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We do this because we have compassion. That is who we are. We are compassionate because Jesus is compassionate and Jesus is inside us. If you're a disciple of Christ, He has sent you on a mission. Your mission is to go out there and to seek and to save that which was lost, just like Jesus did. It's to go out there and minister to the people around us. It's to pick that harvest. Don't overlook what you're familiar with. The harvest is precious. Okay, how do we pick the harvest? What's it look like is going out there to minister to the people. But we're like, God, how do we do that? I want to do that, but I just don't know if I'm ready, all these things that hinder us. How can we get past those things? And these are some key issues or keys to doing that. One is praying. Jesus tells us to plead with God on behalf of the workers, behalf of the laborers, which means to make an emotional appeal or even beg God. We pray to God to strengthen us and give us a bigger picture. The bigger picture is so important. When you don't pick the harvest, the stuff on the vine rots. When we don't pick the harvest, the people die without Christ, and there's nothing worse than that. There is nothing worse than that. There's a bigger picture. And he asks us to pray to add workers to the field. We are to earnestly pray for God to strengthen us, to give us the bigger picture, and to pray for others also that they would get the bigger picture and they would get a passion to go out and to seek and save that which was lost, to go out and make the harvest. We do this by spending time with Him in prayer so He can change us from the inside out. He can make our dreams to be His dreams and all the other stuff fade away to give us a passion for the lost and give us a passion to minister to those around us. We also get a passion for the lost through spending time in God's Word. We need to spend time in His Word because it builds our faith. It gives us instruction in how to live our lives. And as we do so, He molds us to who we were born to be. How do we reach the harvest? It's different for all of us. But how do you do that? By spending time with him in prayer and in his word. And also going out and doing the harvest takes work. Ooh, work. We don't like that word. I don't know about you guys, but I have harvested a few things. I'm from Lansing, New York. And if you're not familiar with that, once you get across the bridge by the high school, it's up in the farm country. And what I used to harvest a lot when I was a teenager was hay and straw. We used to bale it. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but that's one of the hardest things to do. And what I used to, my first time baling straw, I didn't know really anything about it. I was just asked by my cousin who was doing it to come out with him. So I was doing it, and they're like, okay, what you're going to do is you're going to sit on the back of this wagon, and then there's going to be a bale of hay coming to you. And then you're going to put a hay hook in it that you're standing on this rickety wagon with. You're going to slam it in that beast. You're going to pull off the 75, 80-pound bale. You're going to walk it to the back, and then you're going to stack it on here. And then as the wagon's moving, you're stacking these things, and it's getting higher and higher and higher. And to top it all off, once that's all stacked, I'm going to drag you guys back to the barn. Then you're going to unstack it from the tractor, and you're going to put it on this lift. It's got this dangerous PTO system on the back. And if you put your hands on it, it's going to rip your arm off. So beware of that. And you got to beware of the hay hooks that almost went into you. And once the hay gets put on the thing, you're going to be up in the barn, and it's going to fall down about 10 feet to the ground. Then you're going to take it before the next bale comes down, and you're going to walk it over to the other side of the barn, and you're going to stack it again. That's how hard it is to harvest sometimes. I don't know if you've ever done it before, but sometimes harvesting is hard. It takes work. But our work is not striving. We always say here at Thrive, we don't want you to strive, we want you to thrive. And this type of work, going out into the harvest, is work. It does take some action, it does take some work, but it's not striving. If you're striving for your harvest, you're doing it wrong. Maybe you are going after the wrong harvest if you're striving in it, but it's not going to be easy. Harvesting takes work. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we were created for good works to do them. And that's part of your good works is going to reach the lost, going to the harvest. So we work, but it's not striving. The next part, and this is the hardest one I think, is to wait. What do you mean wait? I thought you just told me to go out there and get the harvest. Yes, do that. But sometimes the problem is we know what God has for us. We know the dreams he has for us, and we want to walk in them because that's what we really love. Like, I want to minister the gospel in England, but if I just sat and waited and did nothing until I got there, I'm missing the whole point. Waiting is not just sitting around like we're standing in a line waiting to get to the next thing. Waiting with God is different. We do stuff as we wait. We worship the Lord. We go out there and minister to people. We come to church. There are things that we are doing. Waiting is the hardest thing to do at all, to do well, if at all. It is hard because we confuse waiting on the Lord with resting in the Lord. I know, God, you got this dream for me, so I'm going to rest in you until this happens. And at the meantime, everything is bypassing us. No. We wait on the Lord by doing the ministry he has called for us until he's called us to go somewhere else. The fields are white. And lastly, remember it costs. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ costs something. There's a cost to being a disciple of Christ. We are told to die to ourselves and live for him. This means that we might have to go out and minister when it's inconvenient, give until it hurts, and go where we do not want to be. But the harvest is worth it because he is worth it. Amen. Jesus, thank you for this message, Lord. God, I just pray right now for a supernatural passion for the harvest that you have for us right here in Central New York. And I pray right now, Father God, that we don't overlook what you have for us here. It is not wrong to want different things. It is not wrong to think about other things. But it is wrong when it consumes us. God, we want the consuming passion for you to be worshipped, for all that you're worthy. And we want to have a consuming passion for what you've called us for and what you've called us to do in this area and the harvest that you have for us in our lives. God, we want the harvest of our home. Our direct home where we live right now. We want the harvest there. We want to be ministers to the home that we live in physically right now. God, we want to be the harvesters of our immediate family, Father God. For those who don't know you, let us be the ones who go and harvest them, Father God. We want to be the harvesters at our workplace. Don't let us look beyond our workplace. God, let us be the harvesters of this region, this town, this city. God, let us be the harvesters in this state, and let us be the harvesters in this nation. Amen. Ooh. That's a powerful prayer. You may not feel it right now, but it's a powerful thing. To be somebody to harvest what God has for us. We just told the God of the universe, God, I'm willing to, here I am, send me. Do you realize what that means now? You're held accountable for what you just prayed. He's going to be like, all right, I've got the harvest for you right here. And that's some of the hardest harvesting to do. Baling straw and hay ain't nothing to go and to tell somebody about Jesus, the ones that you know that you can't get away from. It's quite another thing when you can go tell a stranger you never see them again. It's quite another thing when you go to your house and you live with that somebody. Or you go to a family reunion and they think you're the Jesus freak and they don't want to talk to you. But you have a passion and a love for them that you can't even explain. I just want you to know the love of Christ. I just want you to know how much he loves you. I just want you to be touched by what he's doing in your life. It's hard to go and preach at your workplace. It's hard to go and harvest there because you see them every day. May God give you the bravery to do that. May God give you the love for that person that's greater than the fear you have about going out and harvesting the crop.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.